As people think about great women in history, what examples does the Bible give us? Find out next on Gospel of Life. Hello, this is Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to the program. Our co-host is our Associate Director, Janet Morana, and our guest, Reverend Rusty Thomas of Elijah Ministries in Waco, Texas. Welcome to you both.
Important for duty, sir.
Always good to have you with us. Janet?
Well, you know, Father, it's this time of year. You know, I taught for 12 years in the public schools in New York. And, you know, different months when you're a teacher have different themes naturally that occur and you kind of focus certain lessons. And March has been designated nationwide as Women in History Month. And for the most part, I'm sure right now kids are out there reading books about people like Sandra Day O'Connor and Harriet Tubman and things of the nature to do a report for school on a famous woman in history. And I think it would be appropriate now for us to look into why don't we look into some famous women in Scripture and in the Bible and see what example they're giving us? You know, I would just like to delve into that a little bit.
You know, one of the things I often point out to people, I'm sure you do too, Rusty, is that God created Eve out of the side of Adam, you know, not out of his head to indicate superiority or out of his foot to indicate inferiority, but out of his side to indicate that in terms of the call to holiness, in terms of the call to salvation, in terms of human dignity, well, Scripture teaches there's an equal dignity between men and women.
Absolutely, Father Frank. And, you know, the world as we know it, there is what we call the battle of the sexes, is because we do not understand that profound truth. And really, when it comes to relationships between men and women, it comes down to two issues, function and value.
Yes.
Function and value. Now, in value, the Scripture tells us there is no male, there is no female, there is one in Christ.
One in Christ.
Which means that God loves us all the same. He puts no distinction between the man as superior or the woman as inferior or other way around. But that is in value. But in function, there is a difference.
Yes.
There is a difference. And it's not that God wants man to lord it over women. In fact, God wants man to use what he has given to cherish women, to protect women, and to provide for women and children. And of course, when we do it God's way, there is a blessing. But throughout the Scriptures, the Bible tells us much about these women of faith.
Yes.
That literally God used to change the destinies of nations and civilizations. I mean, wonderful women.
Who are some of your favorite examples?
Well, let's take Rachel. You know, you got to remember back in the Old Testament, to have a barren womb was to be considered to be under a curse.
Right.
And the fruitful womb, of course, was the blessing. The blessing of God was a fruitful womb. And it's interesting now, in today's society, we got that completely reversed.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right,
if you have a fruitful womb and you have a lot of children, oh, I'll pray for your brother, you know, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, you know. But if you have, you know, no children, all right, you know. Which is, we got our thinking totally backwards here, you know what I mean? But Rachel understood biblically the importance of children. And you have this incredible event where Rachel comes to Jacob, you know, I mean, just grabs him by the shoulders and begins to shake him, you know, give me children or else I die, you know. And he's like, hey, oh, who am I, God? I'm trying, you know what I mean? But it just shows you, I mean, here's a mother in Israel, you know, who says, give me children or else I die. And amazing, there was a prophetic word over Rachel that she would have children and that she would be the mother of those that would possess the gates of her enemies.
Mm-hmm.
An amazing prophecy. And of course, one of my favorites of all time is Esther.
Yes.
What a woman of God.
An entire book dedicated to her in the Old Testament, right?
And it's a beautiful book. And you know what, Father Frank? It's the only book in the Bible that I believe does not mention God by name.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, you can't help but see his hand, you know, that invisible hand. But one thing, and this is really important for girls today when it comes to Esther, because Esther was a strikingly beautiful woman. And it's amazing to think that God used the beauty of a woman to save an entire nation. And, you know, today we promote beauty and youthfulness. Of course, we impress that upon our children today and put them into bondage, yeah. You know, to become seductresses and all kinds of, you know, mentalities and behaviors that are very destructive. But yet we see in this case how God took a beauty of this woman to captivate a king, knowing that that king was going to be seduced by an enemy, an adversary, that was going to create a decree to wipe out the entire Jewish nation. And, of course, Mordecai says to Esther at that critical point, Esther, don't you know, girl, you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. And God placed her as the queen over that entire empire. But the one thing that's so wonderful about Esther, obviously, she was living in the lap of luxury. She was beautiful. She was famous. She had everything going for her. Women would you know, give anything to be in that position. And yet, when the rubber met the road and it was crunch time, you know, the Bible tells us that she fasted and that she prayed and she made an awesome commitment, Father Frank, because she said, I am going to see the king. Now, we got to remember, back then, you just didn't walk into the king's room, you know, and say, hey, honey, you know, I'm home. You didn't do that, because if he had a bad hair day and he didn't want you in that room, he could go boink and off with your head. So she was literally taking her life in her hands to go to the king and to petition on the behalf of her people that came under a death sentence. And here was her commitment. If I perish, I perish. And brother, that says something about this woman. She was not only beautiful, she was not only famous, but she had courage in her heart. She was a courageous, beautiful woman that God used to rescue an entire nation.
So, Joanne, at the observance of Women in History Month, could include the practice of reading the Book of Esther. That would
That would be a wonderful activity. You know, let's look at the Bible and, like you said, read Esther. And then I think people should look at the New Testament, where to show the importance that Jesus and his ministry on life, the importance he gave to women. You know, it was his own mother's concern for a couple getting married and other women to say, look, you know, he performed a miracle because it was the mother's request. I mean, he didn't need Mary to come to him and say, right. What are we going to do about the wine? Right. And that's when he performed his first miracle. But it was a woman, his mother, coming to him saying that came to happen. And I also think about Easter morning. You know, everyone focuses in on the disciples and where they were and what they were doing. But who did Jesus choose to appear to first? Mary. Not the men. You know, everyone focuses in. You know, and you hear this all the time about, you know, women wanting to preach. And I always say, why are you trying to get into the pulpit? Jesus picked 12 apostles. He was obviously indicating that the men had the role of the preachers.
Right.
But he didn't appear to them first.
No, he didn't. They were all running away.
They were too busy hiding.
And so he said, no, my resurrected body will be seen first by the women. How blessed they were to see the Lord first, not the men.
And then when they saw him on the road and he appeared to Mary Magdalene, and who, of course, had been such a sinner and had demons in her that had to be cast out. But then Jesus said to them, after he assured them he was alive, he said, now go tell my brothers. And that's why historically Mary Magdalene has come to be known as the apostle to the apostles. And it's a beautiful reality. Because the testimony of a woman at that time didn't mean anything.
No.
And here he gave the greatest testimony of all time into the hands
of
a woman.
Well, even look at his priority on the cross. When his mother and the other ladies that were following him, and just, I think John was there, the only apostle that was there at the crucifixion. Everybody was pretty much standing afar off. But isn't it interesting? Just before he's going to give up the ghost and bow his head and succumb to death, he turned to his mother and said, behold your son. speaking of the Apostle John. And then to the Apostle John, behold, your mother. In other words, before he's about to die, he's talking about putting emphasis and cherishing women. One of the last things he does before he departs to pay that penalty on our behalf, he makes sure his mother is cared for.
Yeah.
He makes sure that she is cherished and provided for. And he gave the Apostle John that responsibility. Another interesting thing, Father Frank, and this is where it gets really interesting when it comes in the battle between feminism and Christianity. Because feminism believes Christianity is an oppressive, you know, patriarchal religion mm-hmm. that just crushes the potential within women. And they really do not understand history, and they really do not understand the Bible. Because it was Jesus Christ and through his church that elevated women to a place they had never known. Even in the Old Testament, men married many women. And so you were just kind of one of the bunch. You, in some cases, was considered property by men, even in the Old Testament. But when Christ came, and this is a very interesting situation. We talked about this before. But there's one specific scripture that liberated womankind more than any other. And that is when the Apostle Paul, in his pastoral letters to Timothy and to Titus, that says that a deacon and an elder was to be the husband of one wife.
Right.
Of one wife. As soon as that word was spoken and written by the Apostle Paul, the liberation of God for women happened in the earth. And it's a great tragedy today, Father Frank, because when we send our young ladies off to college and they do women's studies, mm-hmm. what they hear is, you know, Christianity oppresses you, marriage is an institution of slavery, that you know, intimate intercourse between a man and a woman, and, you know, a husband and a wife, this is legalized rape. I mean, these are the kinds of notions that are being implanted into our young ladies, and they don't even realize that through Christ, through his church, that elevated women to a place that instead of being treated as property, that they were to be cherished, that they were to be cared for, that they would be protected, that they would be provided for. Women never knew that before Jesus Christ came
to
this earth.
That's right. There is an authentic biblical feminism we're talking about here. The word feminism and the movement, which has so many legitimate aspects to it, as we began this program by saying, men and women are equal in dignity, and so anything that degrades that dignity is to be opposed. You know, for example, if they wouldn't have the right to vote, you know, or they wouldn't get equal pay for equal work, that's not right. But the movement and the name have been hijacked by the pro-abortion crowd,
that's right.
who have somehow sold the notion that for a woman to be equal in society, she's basically got to become a surrogate man. You know, like, take away her fertility, take away her childbearing, then she'll be equal. And that's not what we say. We say she's equal when we recognize the uniqueness here of being able to be a mother, to nurture life. Well, you don't need surgical instruments to become equal to men.
Exactly. And you look at the Proverbs 31 woman. You see, this is the big lie of feminism, because they're telling women, if you submit to Christianity, then all your potential, all your gifts, all your talents is going to go to the wayside, and all you're going to do is be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen.
Right. Right.
Okay? But you look at the biblical model of womanhood. My gosh, this is an impressive woman. I mean, she takes care of business. She's a businesswoman. She's buying fields and selling them. She cares for her family, for her servants. She has ministry. She's caring for the poor.
Mm-hmm.
And because of her example in her life, her husband is elevated to the gates of the city because of her.
Because of her.
Because of her. He's elevated. And so where does God want to rob women
right.
of their potential? He doesn't. He wants them to be fulfilled and use all those giftings and talents for his glory.
Proverbs. Yeah.
But I just want to finish one thing. But there's one big difference between the Proverbs 31 woman and feminism today. The big difference was she did everything from the context of the home and under the covering of her husband.
Of the husband.
She still took care of business. She was well educated. She had ministry. She had every available opportunity that any other person had, except she was protected.
These verses you refer to, Proverbs 31, these are the last several verses of that chapter and the ending of the book of Proverbs. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness.
Hello.
Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Beautiful words.
Father Frank, when... You know that my wife went through the 10-month ordeal with lymphoma cancer.
Yes.
And it finally became clear that she was going to pass on and go home and be with the Lord. I had my daughters come in just mere hours before she was going to pass. This was not rehearsed. Okay. I didn't tell them to go in there and say these words. But I will tell you, each and every one of them went in and looked at their mother, and with tears streaming down their eyes, "Mama, I arise and I call you blessed." Each and every one of them. And you know what scripture I got on her tombstone? "Many daughters have done well, but you have excelled them all."
That is beautiful.
And my wife was a Titus 2, Proverbs 31 woman.
Yes, she was. And I'll always cherish the memories of being with her, the times that we were together, too.
Amen.
It was a great blessing.
Amen.
A great blessing. Well, thank you for sharing about women in Scripture. And Janet, I hope, as you taught many children in your teaching career, that many of these students will learn from the great lessons of Scripture that we've just scratched the surface on here today in this show. So thank you both for what you do. Stay with us, friends. We're going to have our action segment after these breaks, and we're going to talk about more things you can do to advance the kingdom of life. Feminism says, listen to the voices of women. And if we listen to the voices of women in our society, we'll hear many of them crying out for help to nurture and protect the life that is growing within them. We don't serve or help or advance their lives by giving them abortion. We advance their lives and we serve them by giving them concrete help. That's what the pro-life movement is all about.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I worried about staying in school.
I was already struggling to care for one child.
My parents told me I wasn't ready to be a mom, so I had an abortion.
I had physical problems afterwards.
I went from relationship to relationship.
I hated myself.
I started to have nightmares.
I cried when I saw a pregnant woman.
I tried to commit suicide.
Couldn't bond with the child I later had.
I tried to numb my pain with alcohol.
I struggled with depression.
I had trouble conceiving again.
You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
Each of us thought we were the only ones struggling afterward.
Now we realize many women regret their choice.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help and healing, and you can too. Call or go online today.
Do you realize that every 23 seconds a baby is killed by legal abortion in this country? But you know, you can do something to save those lives. At Gospel Life Ministries, we have a bulletin insert called You can save someone's life today, and we make this available absolutely free for your church. And it doesn't matter how many bulletins you print. Suppose you print 1,000, 2,000, we'll send it to you free. And in this insert, you can save someone's life today, are the resources that you need to reach out and help a girl. Suppose you hear of a girl who's pregnant and in need. We have the hotline numbers where that girl can receive help right in her own community. And we're talking about medical expenses paid, a place to live if necessary, job opportunities. She doesn't have to feel that her only way is to go to an abortion mill. And also, if you know someone who is hurting from an abortion, we want to bring them back to the healing and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this bulletin insert are the ministries there, toll-free numbers that are waiting in open arms to receive her back the help and healing. And in addition, you can inform your church community about facts about abortion. And then finally, you can get involved. You can help us and join hands in saving those lives, because in this bulletin insert are action items so that everybody can help save a life today. Thank you. Call us at our toll-free number.
Prayer is essential to everything we do as Christians. The Lord Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." That's why we at Gospel of Life have launched a national prayer campaign to end abortion. We've composed a simple prayer that you can say each and every day. And that prayer is available at prayercampaign.org on the internet. You can say this prayer with your family. You can bring it to your pastor. Some pastors, in fact, have placed this prayer in the church bulletin or on the inside of their parish hymnals. In whatever way you can promote this prayer, you'll be adding more and more believers to this great campaign to ask the Lord to bring an end to abortion in America and to commit ourselves to do what He wants us to do to achieve that goal. Join the National Prayer Campaign to End Abortion at prayercampaign.org. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Paul Shank. Gospel of Life Ministries, Priests for Life, and the National Pro-Life Action Center are ready, willing, and able to come to your church, conference, convention, prayer group, Sunday school, or pro-life event. Dynamic, seasoned, and experienced speakers, teachers, and presenters are available. Renowned leaders such as Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life, and President of the National Pro-Life Religious Council. Dr. Alveda King, the niece of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and Janet Morana, Associate Director of Priests for Life and co-founder of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, together with pastoral associates Dr. Teresa Burke, the founder of Rachel's Vineyard, and her husband Kevin Burke, counselor and social worker, Jim Pinto, pro-life pioneer, and our clergy, Reverend Dennis Wild, Reverend Peter West, and Reverend Walter Quinn, are prepared to preach and teach in your church about how to end the tragedy of abortion, minister to those suffering from abortion, help train and organize your pro-life group, lead retreats, and much, much more. To schedule a speaker in your area, call the Speakers Bureau at 888-735-3448, extension 258, or email us at speakers@gospeloflife.com. The waiting is over. The time for action is now. Schedule an inspiring speaker for your area.
My friends, welcome to our action segment. You know, Janet, where we have our offices in New York, there are many of the local churches that have put up signs about abortion on their church property, big signs. And they've been up there for years and years, and everybody coming to church and also driving by on the road gets the pro-life message. This is a wonderful action item that we want to recommend today to our viewers.
That's right. And we're not talking about big, giant billboards. We're talking about a reasonably sized sign that is right on the church property, but in a very visible location so that people, pedestrians, cars going by, they really can get this message. And there's really some great messages, things like abortion stops the beating heart and a lot of different messages. And they're very simple to put up.
One of them says, abortion, the ultimate violation of human rights. Another one says, cherish God's precious gift of life. I know another one says, let the preborn babies live. And what happens is it becomes a part of the fabric of the neighborhood. And even if people aren't thinking about it, people who live in that area, as they go back and forth each and every time past that church, it's having an impact on
them. That's right. You know, and it's very simple to do. I know we in New York had a local men's group that got together, and they just decided to be committed. They went to a sign company. They brought them the phrases and some designs, and they themselves took it upon themselves to kind of take the work away from the pastor or the minister, who's always very busy, and just said, look, we'll take care of all the details. Here's the different sign designs. You pick the one you want for your church. We'll do the rest. Just give us your permission. And they erected the signs. Because part of this is, you know, maybe a pastor or minister might say, I want to do this, but, and then that word of the time involved. So I encourage local pro-life people to say, listen, we can do this, and we can help our pastors
that's
get this
right.
up on the property.
Volunteer to do the work.
That's right.
That's required.
And
absolutely.
Time.
And it's really, lives are saved by this. And people have to realize, lives are saved, because a lot of folks out there, even those that have appointments to get abortions, are very ambivalent about it. And sometimes they're looking for a sign from God to say, well, how, you know, tell me how whether I should really do this or not.
Right.
Just like a bumper sticker can save lives.
So can
signs in the parish can.
And then lawn signs, that's something that we all can have outside our homes.
Our own homes,
and
yes.
And there are companies where they can get these pro-life message lawn signs. Our friends at Victory One and Heritage House, they have them already made, and they're very reasonably priced. You can go to gospellife.com and from our website get to theirs, where you can really pick a lot of different phrases. And there's no reason why you can't have that in front of your house where the shrubs are and just put a couple of lawn signs. Because as people, again, walk and drive by, their mind will become alert to a little pro-life message that will help eventually get to them, you know.
Yes, and bringing this idea up furthermore in prayer groups and Bible studies or conversation with in your pro-life organizations and groups, spread this idea and let people know about it, or writing it in a newsletter. And once the signs go up, if one church puts up a sign, make an event out of it.
That's right.
Take pictures, publicize it in the newspaper, invite the local newspaper to come by and say, we're going to unveil our sign. And then that gives them an opportunity then to explain to the community, for example, that we promote alternatives to abortion. And in fact, the sign can have a phone number for alternatives to abortion locally. Of course, another thing that this could lead to is purchasing billboards in the local community, and we did this also in the very beginning.
That's
and
right.
Found people very supportive coming forward to pay for the billboard. In fact, the billboard company ended up donating most
right.
of the spaces.
That's right.
So it people respond beautifully to this.
Right. And again, if they need help with getting these ideas launched, call us or contact us at Gospel of Life, and we'll be happy. Our staff is standing by, ready to help you with these suggestions and get them into action.
Exactly. Well, brothers and sisters, if you like the things that we say on Gospel of Life, please consider supporting us financially. We rely on people like you to advance our work. Be in touch with us at gospeloflife.com. We're grateful to Life Dynamics, which is where we tape these shows, and they're very generous in helping us with the studio and also their staff assistants. And we are eager to hear from you. Contact us, let us know what you're doing, and together, let's work for a culture of life.
I'm Dr. Paul Shank, and I hope you've been encouraged and challenged today. If you and others you know, perhaps a prayer group, Bible study, Sunday school, or pro-life group, want to know more about Gospel of Life and how people of faith united together can build the culture of life, call us at 888-735-3448. Visit us on the web at www.gospeloflife.com or email us at info@gospeloflife.com. You can write to us at Gospel of Life, P.O. Box 60038, Staten Island, New York, 10306.